This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Wayland. We are with rotowire.com. Welcome to our show. Excited about today. We'll be wrapping up what happened last night. Another incredible NBA playoff game. The NBA continues to entertain. We got play it or pass it today. We're going to do Golden State Minnesota props. Talk about general concepts in NBA betting as well. Then we're going to bring in Paul Bruno, talk a little hockey. The NHL playoffs under the radar have been fantastic as well. Maybe not under the radar for some people, but it's been fantastic. And then we'll talk baseball in the final segment as well. Nick, the Knicks did it again. They came back from 20, second time in as many games. It's never happened before.
It's never happened before. We, you know, coming into the set of game twos, which continued tonight, you know, we had never had all four road teams win outright in game ones. And, you know, the Knicks pull off another 20-point comeback, now up 2-0 in that series. It was our sixth consecutive outright win by an underdog to begin round two. And of course, OKC obviously bucked that trend in a big way in the late game, but it's been a wild, wild round two. You know, round one, there's always a like two or three series where you're like, all right, I'm keeping that one on the back burner. You know, Cavs, Heat, Grizzlies, Thunder, things like that. But round two is when things heat up. We are off to an incredible start in the NBA. A lot to take away from this game last night, Jeff. First and foremost, Jason Tatum was horrific for a second straight game. I thought it was worse last night than it was in game one. And, you know, I had to dive in on Stathead after the game and take a look at, you know, this kind of extended rut that Jason Tatum has been in, relatively speaking, of course, because the Celtics are 19-6 in their last 25 playoff games. But in that span, Jason Tatum is shooting under 42% from the field. He's shooting under 30% from three. Give a lot of credit, you know, to the New York Knicks last night and through these first two games for the defense that they've been playing on Jason Tatum. OG Anunoby specifically gives him a lot of trouble. That final possession, just perfect. Perfect. Like this is why Tom Thibodeau coaches in the NBA. So he can just rewatch possessions like that over and over and over. Mitchell Robinson funneling Jason Tatum to the baseline. OG Anunoby leaving his man Al Horford to go double. Mikal Bridges comes over for essentially a triple team, times it perfectly, gets that steal on Jason Tatum at the end. But really for the second straight game, Jeff, we saw the Celtics tighten up in the second half and specifically down the stretch. I think it's easy to just say, oh, they didn't shoot the three well again. And that's true. They're now 25 for 100 from three over these first two games of the series, shot exactly 25% in both of those games. But Boston was up 14 with about 7 minutes left in the game. They scored 6 points in the final 8 minutes and 30 seconds. The Knicks went on a 21-2 run. They closed on a 21-6 run to end this game. I mean, Boston went over 8 minutes without a field goal. Peyton Pritchard hit a three at the 8:40 mark. They had only 4 points on four free throws until Jason Tatum's dunk that put the Celtics up one with about 18 seconds left. And, you know, obviously this team, it's tough to look at Boston and question their championship medal because they obviously just won a championship last year. But this is two games in a row at home where you've had a comfortable lead, you're coasting, you just feel like you're a couple baskets away, a couple stops away from really ending the game. And the shot selection, the overall tightness, you just kind of felt that energy in the building. It just wasn't there for Boston. And Jason Tatum being unable to step up as the closer in both of these games, I think it's been huge.
You know, during the regular season, they had a couple of games that were pretty awful every once in a while. People wondered why are they behind Cleveland? You're like, oh, just wait. They'll turn it on in the playoffs. The betting market reflected that. They still might be the favorite in the East to come out of the East. And yet you're kind of seeing like, okay, well, maybe this isn't the same as last year. Maybe this is a case here. They're not the same team. And obviously, Porzingis not firing on all cylinders. He's clearly not 100% right now. Yeah. That matters. Every little thing like that matters.
No question. I'm glad you brought up Porzingis. I think that is a big piece here. And obviously Porzingis played last night, but he came off the bench. He only played 14 minutes. He had very minimal impact. You know, had a big bucket, you know, early in the fourth quarter, and one. And that was about it. I mean, it forced the Celtics to play Al Horford 29 minutes, which is not that many, but Al Horford's almost 39 years old. You know, I think you prefer to use Al Horford off the bench. You know, he gives you 18 to 22 good minutes in that role. When you're asking him to start, when you're asking him to chase around Karl Anthony Towns, it wears on a guy like that. I think over the course of a game and over the course of a series, he was just 2 of 11 from the field last night, 0 of 5 from three. There is a reason that the Celtics are still minus 120 to win this series. There is a reason they're still 5-point favorites for game three Saturday at the Garden. And I think that is the shooting, Jeff. The shooting will come around at some point. You know, tomorrow we'll talk about the total in that game. And, you know, it's one that I just almost want to stay away from because you feel like that Celtics avalanche is coming at some point. But, man, I mean, the Knicks have them where they want them, right? You're going back home with a 2-0 series lead. That building is going to be unbelievable on Saturday afternoon. I cannot wait to watch that game. And, you know, comparing this team to last year's team, Jeff, I think that's easy to do because it's basically the same roster. And again, the odds imply that the Celtics will find their way back into this series. You know what it really reminds me of is 2 years ago, that 2023 Eastern Conference Finals series against the Miami Heat. Now, Boston did not start the series by blowing back-to-back 20-point leads, but they lost the first two games of that series at home as big favorites. Lost game one as an 8.5-point favorite. Lost game two as a 10-point favorite. They went and lost game three in Miami as a 4.5-point favorite, a very similar script to what we're seeing right now in this Knicks series. Now, the Celtics did then win three in a row to force a game seven and then lost game seven at home as a 7.5-point favorite. So I'm not saying history is going to completely repeat itself. It's just interesting to me, you know, how closely these first two games of this series feel like they've mirrored that Miami series 2 years ago.
100%. So much of the framing is what's wrong with Boston. What's going right with the Knicks? It's interesting. They did this with Brunson having a mediocre night, 6-19 from the field. Carl Anthony Towns, 21-17. He was huge. What else are the Knicks doing right?
Yeah, I think Towns was the big thing last night because, you know, Jalen Brunson did not play well. I think if you told me before the game, hey, Jalen Brunson's going to have 17 points on 19 shots, you're going to get 19 combined points out of Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, and Anunoby was great in game one, I would have told you, yeah, this is probably Celtics by 15. They'd probably blow them out. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, who didn't have a monster game necessarily by his standards, but certainly compared to how ineffective he was in game one, he was a guy that was keeping this game within reason, I thought, for a lot of the second, third quarter, even into the early fourth when Jalen Brunson was struggling. Brunson really couldn't get any looks, anything clean in the first half of this game. They were able to unlock him a little bit as things went along, but I thought it was an excellent performance by Karl Anthony Towns. You know, if you look at game one, the Knicks had a great three-point shooting game. I believe they were over 40% from three. So I think that was a big factor in their favor when Boston's going 15 of 60. That wasn't the case in game two. You know, the Knicks went 9 of 31 from three, 29%. Really not any better than the Celtics. They had 16 turnovers. You know, I think there are, if you're looking for a concern on the Boston side of things, looking at game two specifically, you could say, yeah, you know, we probably won't go 8 minutes without a field goal again. You know, hopefully we don't shoot 25% from three for a third straight game, but it's not like the Knicks played perfect basketball by any means. I think if anything, if you're looking for, all right, what are the Knicks doing to slow down the Celtics? Why did Boston only score 90 points? Some of it is shooting luck, but the way that they're able to contest, the way that they're able to D up on the wings specifically with Bridges, with Anunoby, with Josh Hart, you know, Jason Tatum, yeah, he's struggling right now. Maybe he's in his head. You don't just go 5 of 19 by accident, right? You know, I think you have some really, really physical defenders, guys who, even if they're beat at the point of attack, you got help coming. Everything is being challenged at the rim. And I will say, I think the way this series has benefited the New York Knicks. We saw almost nothing being called last night. I mean, 25 That's right. combined free throw attempts between these two teams.
Indeed. We're going to talk a little Nuggets Thunder and the Thunderstruck game there. But first, quick note here from ourselves at RotoWire. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Okay. We don't mean to give short shrift to Nuggets in Oklahoma City, but come on. This was a blowout from the word go. It was really remarkable. OKC came out mad, stayed mad.
Yeah, maybe we're just doing Nuggets fans who are watching this show right now a favor by only talking about this game for 2 minutes, because there's really not much to say. And yeah, you know, I think this was predictable in some ways, but at the same time, I didn't know that the Nuggets specifically with Jokic would be susceptible to this level of a letdown. I mean, like you said, this game felt like it was completely over by the end of the first quarter, but the way these playoffs and the second round specifically have gone, you're thinking, all right, well, hey, they're only down 24. You know, we've seen teams come back from this, so you didn't want to count Denver out. But, you know, with OKC continuing to step on the gas in the second quarter, you know, throttling it even more in the third quarter, the lead was 48 at the end of three. There was really no point where Denver made any sort of run to feel like this was remotely in jeopardy. I mean, once they built that 20-point lead, I don't even know if it got under 20 the rest of the game. I mean, this was quite literally the best offensive half in NBA playoff history. That first half by OKC, 87 points. That's a new NBA playoff record. Thanks to a couple Chet Holmgren free throws. He was fouled at the buzzer, tacked on points number 86 and 87. And Thunder put up a 143.4 offensive rating for the game. I mean, they would have pushed for a 150 offensive rating had they not just played the scrubs in the fourth quarter. That was a top 15 single game offensive rating in NBA postseason history. Series, of course, now shifts to Denver for game three. It is still 1-1. Could be easy to overreact to a blowout like this. Thunder, 4.5-point favorites tomorrow night.
Yeah. How nice would it have been to be an overbetter last night in that game? 209.5. Oklahoma City almost got there on their own.
Yeah, well, instead I was on the Celtics team total over, I think 109.5. And that was like sunk 2 minutes into the game. And it's like 7-0 Celtics, 6 minutes into the first quarter. And briefly we had a window where they were putting in some threes at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And I'm starting to do the math, like, all right, this might happen. Maybe if we get overtime. And then you go 8.5 minutes without a field goal, that one's going to be dead. But yes, congrats to those who were on the over last night. That was one of the easiest cashes of the year. Pretty sure the OKC team total over also cashed, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the total in the subsequent for game three is 233.5. It's jumped 24 points. So that tells you where we're at there. We're going to do play it or pass it Golden State, Minnesota style coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here from RotoWire. We're going to do one of our favorite segments, Play It or Pass It, with Golden State, Minnesota. But with only one game in the slate, I figured we'd kind of jump into a couple general questions first for those who are watching and maybe are new to betting on hoops. Nick, what tools or stats do you use when you're researching NBA bets?
That's a great question, Jeff. It's a great question. And of course, it depends on, you know, what specific type of bet you're targeting. But let's say you're looking at a total, for instance, an NBA total. You want to dig in on some of the obvious key stats there, like pace, you know, take a look at a team's shot diet, you know, what percentage of their shots tend to come from 3-point range. Do they tend to cash those in? You know, you think about a team like the Orlando Magic. They're way, way, way down on the spectrum. There's a reason that they are one of the biggest under teams, one of the lowest total teams in the NBA. They don't take a lot of threes. They don't make a lot of threes. And you have the Boston Celtics, for instance, on the other end of that spectrum. Well, they'll take 45 to 55 threes per game. You know, some nights they'll go 25% like they have been in the playoffs so far, but a lot of nights they'll hit at a 40%+ clip. Beyond that, you know, you're looking at 5-man lineups. You know, who do you project to be out there most often? What kind of offensive rating are we looking at? How does pace change when a certain player is on or off the court? You can find all that over at rotowire.com. I like to use nba.com/stats as a supplemental source. You know, Basketball Reference has a lot of those numbers as well. And, you know, if you're looking at an individual player prop, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, you know, you can look at specific defensive matchups. You know, there's really good tracking data out there at a lot of sites now that can tell you, okay, when Karl Anthony Towns is defended specifically by Draymond Green, how does he do? What kind of shots does he take? How often is he taking shots? How does his usage rate change in those situations? I do look at past performance as well, Jeff, but honestly, in the modern NBA, and by modern, I mean like the last 3 to 5 years, you really have to take those numbers with a grain of salt. Yeah, I always tell people, I implore you to really dig in on each specific matchup. You know, it's an overly simplistic to say, oh, well, you know, Jimmy Butler, he's averaging 28 points per game when he faces the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, who is missing in those games? Because if you follow the NBA, especially in the regular season, you know, not everybody is out there any given night. You know, was a key player out? Was it a blowout scenario at any point? Does the final score look different than the game script actually played out? Was one team at a rest disadvantage? You know, did some team have 3 days off, whereas the other is playing on a road back-to-back? So I think you have to go beyond the surface level when you're looking at matchup history. You want to know the context for each of those matchups. And one more thing I'll mention, Jeff, if a key player is out and we know he's going to be out, I love using our on-off data over at RotoWire. You could get a really good look at a large sample of data. You could set custom dates. You can look at just the playoffs, just the last month, since the All-Star break, et cetera. And that'll give you a really nice baseline as far as, you know, who benefits, who picks up usage. You know, sometimes you find things that you wouldn't expect, right? You know, player X is off the court and, you know, the guy who you think might average more points is actually, you know, averaging 2.5 more assists per 36 minutes when that player is off. So it can be difficult sometimes to narrow down. You know, you almost don't want to overload yourself with information, but the tools are out there. And, you know, once you narrow in on a specific bet that you like, do as much research as you can.
Yeah, so we could dial in on the what Golden State does when they don't have Steph Curry, for instance. There would be a good example. So when you sign up for RotoWire, remember, use that promo code ROTO15, get 15% off any RotoWire product. Quick follow-up question. If you're new to betting basketball, what type of player props would you recommend trying to bet first?
Yeah, this is somewhat eye of the beholder. You know, it depends on how much you watch the NBA. You know, there's a big difference between like, oh, I'm just getting into it. And yeah, I follow it at least on a cursory basis. I've been watching throughout the regular season. But look, if you're just starting out in the betting world, I would probably just stick to the basics. You don't have to do anything fancy. I know it can be tempting to parlay four or five props together and try to hit something at 20-1 and get that big payout. But I think we know at this point that is exactly what the book wants you to do. So I would stick to the basic categories. You know, even if you just want to take a side or take a total, you know, identify players who you know well. Even if you're a casual NBA fan, you know, don't just throw out something on Nikhil Alexander Walker if you don't really know his game. You know, players that you've watched, players that you're familiar with, you know how they tend to operate game to game. And again, you got to lean on the data. You know, you don't want to just go on a hunch. You know, try to go through the exercise of, okay, if I had to rationalize this bet to someone, to a friend, to anybody, what would I tell them? How would I explain why this is a good bet? And I think when you do that, it can really force you to almost script out a game or script out, you know, how a game will go for a certain player. And look, oftentimes you'll be way off, but it gets you at least thinking about the game the right way. I'll also say, you know, I like betting totals. I've been doing that a lot more this season, and I found that it completely changes the way that I consume a game. You know, I think the more you do that, the more you inherently start watching games with a betting eye as opposed to as a fan or more passively. And you start to notice like how quickly are teams getting into their actions? You know, how are games being officiated? You start to pick up on the pace of things. And, you know, even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, help you with that specific total, I think it gets you in the right frame of mind as you place future bets.
Before we get into some of the individual props from tonight's game, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription, normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Minnesota hosting Golden State, 10.5 point favorites now for this game here. Let's start diving into a couple of the individual props, starting off with the Ant-Man. Terrible game one. They set the over under on the total points at 27.5 at -120. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards, play it or pass it, 27.5 points. What do you say?
Well, this is difficult because, you know, it feels like Edwards played so badly in game one, and he did, and he still finished with 23 points. You know, like he's at that level where even his bad games end up looking good in terms of the raw box score numbers. He is 1 of 16 from three over his last two games. At some point, that is going to reverse in a big way. But, you know, we're talking about no Steph Curry tonight for the Golden State Warriors. They have a 97.2 defensive rating in the postseason with Steph off the court. Game one played at a very slow pace, 91.6 possessions per 48. I think that's kind of what Golden State wants. Without Steph Curry, you need to slow this game down. You need to turn it into as much of a grind as possible. I'm ultimately okay with taking this because it really does feel like Edwards is due to break out of that shooting slump. I think the attempts should be there. But if I'm betting an Anthony Edwards prop tonight, Jeff, I would rather look at the over 12.5 assists plus rebounds. He's been really, really consistent as a rebounder all playoffs, had 14 boards in game one. He's gone over this number in 5 of 6 games in the postseason, averaging close to 15 assists plus boards in that span. Probably see a lot of misses for both teams tonight, even if it is a slow paced game.
Indeed. Rebounding props then come into play a little bit. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, over 7.5 rebounds, plus 114, play it or pass it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Butler had 11 boards in game one. I think this price is appealing, getting this at plus money. But I do think we see more Rudy Gobert for Minnesota tonight. I think they do pull that lever. And you know, obviously, he is such a rebound vacuum whenever he's out there. Golden State really doesn't have anybody size-wise who can match up with him. We also need to keep in mind that of those 11 rebounds for Butler in game one, seven of them came on the offensive glass. And wow, you have to think that the Wolves will do a better job of emphasizing that, limiting those offensive rebound opportunities for Butler specifically. It's still a reasonable number at 7.5. As long as this game is close, I think the minutes will be there. Butler does have a decent chance to cash it, but I'm a little worried about that offensive defensive rebound split. I'm a little worried about Gobert being out there. So I think I'm going to pass this one, Jeff.
I'm going to go for overall prop, not individual player prop. The total, over 201 total, minus 10 both ways at DraftKings. Play it or pass it?
Well, we're going to keep talking about Stephen Curry on off numbers, Jeff. The Warriors have a 90.6 offensive rating, 90.6 with Steph Curry off the floor in the playoffs. They have a 105 offensive rating with Curry off during the regular season, which is a better number, but still a very, very low offensive rating. We're talking about the worst offense in the NBA, even at that 105 number. Again, I think Golden State tries to slow this game down. You want to make this as much of a rock fight as possible. I would lean under on the 201. You know, it's really difficult for me to find where that Golden State offense is going to come from. Their team total tonight is sitting at 94.5. Yeah, they got to 99 in game one, but that was with 18 made threes. You got 24 points out of Buddy Hield. You got 13 even from Steph before he left. Draymond hit four threes, a bunch of those early in the game. I don't know that you could depend on that. The concern when you're looking at the overall total is that this could be a big overcorrection shooting game for Minnesota. They are 12 of 76 from three over the last two games, but I don't trust Golden State minus Curry to hold up its end of the bargain.
I'm going to sneak in one more. We got 30 seconds left. Naz Reid, over 12.5 points, minus 105 on DraftKings. Play it or pass it?
Yeah, I like this one. We were on Naz Reid in game one. I think Minnesota really values what he brings off the bench. He was one of the few positives you could take from the Minnesota side in that first game. Does he get to 34 minutes again? We'll see. This number at 12.5 probably says no. If we do see more Gobert, that probably comes at the expense of Reid. But when he's out there, he's aggressive. He's not being defended by Draymond Green. I think he's going to have the advantage. Give me Naz Reid over 12.5 points. Wolves are going to need it.
All right, shifting the conversation to the ice. Paul Bruno joins us next on the Progressive Guest Line. Next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to talk a little National Hockey League here on Prop Points. We got our hockey expert from rotowire.com, one of our favorite guests, the man with the Toronto Maple Leafs tattoo, Paul Bruno at Statsman22 on Twitter. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, talk a little bit about what we saw in the NHL last night, and of course, get Paul's best bets for tonight's slate. Paul, we will table the Maple Leafs talk for the moment. We will get to the Maple Leafs, I can assure you of that. But I want to start with the late game last night. Stars and the Jets. Stars take a 1-0 series lead. Mikko Rantanen, hat trick to help them win game one. Looking at the series price right now, Dallas now minus 360 to take this series. Would you consider backing the Winnipeg Jets at plus 290?
I would, because I think this is going to be a long series, Nick. But boy, I like the Dallas squad. I'll repeat that I made the preseason pit call with Dallas making the Stanley Cup final, and they've done nothing to change my mind. And Mikko Rantanen, like you said, he's been on fire, not just last night, but he finished the previous series with 2 4-point games. So he's far and away the leader in the most valuable player race in the early going of the postseason. And injury news was central to this outcome. Winger Jason Robertson returned to the game for the Stars. Miro Heiskanen, though, still sidelined. He hasn't played since late January, in fact. So they're operating without their power play quarterback and big minute eater on the blue line, and they still look great. On the other side, the Jets did get Mark Scheifele back, and he scored in his return. But Josh Morrissey, the Jets' top blue liner, also didn't play, although he's expected to come back a little earlier than Heiskanen in this series, as I understand it right now.
Yeah, every day is like Sunday for the Jets right now with Morrissey out, but we'll see if they can turn it around a little bit. I think the goaltending battle in this one's interesting. You know, you've got Team USA's two goalies, basically, and I know they were chanting at him, "You're the backup to Ottinger," and Ottinger really stepped up pretty much in a big way, especially that frantic third period.
I would have to agree, Jeff. This is a kind of a marquee matchup in goal. But for my money, Ottinger's been playing a lot better than Hellebuck in these playoffs. Hellebuck seems to be cursed by the postseason. In fact, he's had some really negative numbers that he's posted in recent runs. And how about getting shelled for six goals or more in each of the three road games in that first round? That can't make anybody feel good in the Winnipeg market. And Ottinger, for his part, has just been steady Eddie and continuing to do what he's been done all season. And in terms of another difference between these two teams, I favor the Stars bottom six over the Dallas bottom six. So that's two big advantages that I see. The rest of the forward ranks, the top Stars, I think it's a bit of a saw-off, but you go deeper into the roster, I think Dallas has a bit of an edge. And I think it's going to be a long series, like I said, but I don't see the Stars losing to the Jets in this one.
All right, Paul, let's talk about your team, the Maple Leafs. They take a 2-0 series lead last night. We look ahead now to game three tomorrow. We do have the Panthers as relatively big favorites on the money line. Leafs, though, -230 to win the series. If you still like Florida, you can get them at +190. I'll just ask you straight up, how many games does this series go? Because I will tell you at the DraftKings Sportsbook that seven games at +180 is still the short shot.
Yeah, and seven games was my call it before this thing started. But the Leafs raced out to a 2-0 lead. They've played very poised and patient hockey in taking those first two games, both by one goal. So we know the game's been really close, and each team has opened the scoring. So you can't even say the first goal is vital because the Leafs came back and erased that early lead to take the win. They have appeared to have risen to the challenge. I've watched this team very closely, as you implied. And in years past, they were not able to rise to the moment, guys. And this time around, I see a lot more poise and calm in their game. Their top players are also leading the offense. They've gone missing in prior playoff runs. Meanwhile, Florida has been unable to impose their will, despite some intimidation tactics that have, I'm sure you've seen some of the pics and videos of those. The Toronto coach is a key figure in this whole set, as far as I'm concerned. Craig Berube was a tough guy back in his playing days, and boy, they could use his element in this matchup. I won't deny that, but this team is a reflection of him being a very even-keeled as he is as a coach. The players have certainly adopted that persona, and that's really helping them to stay focused and to stay on a level playing field with the defending champs so far.
Let's move on to tonight. We got Carolina and Washington in game one. The score may have reflected the game was close. If you look at dig in a little bit deeper, it wasn't really that close. Carolina outshot Washington 33-14. If it weren't for Logan Thompson, I think this would have been a bit of a blowout. What do you expect to happen in game two?
Well, you know, it's vital for the Caps to get this. If they go down 0-2 and head down the road, it's big, big trouble for them, Jeff. For me, it's a matchup. The series boils down to a matchup of the Hurricane speed and skill versus the Caps size and checking ability. I chose Carolina at the outset of this series because you can't hit but you can't catch, guys. And they have to prove, the Caps do, that they can do that consistently before I change my mind.
More from our friend Paul Bruno in a moment. But first, are you ready to get in on the action? First Bet. As you covered, sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or your computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use our promo code BISIN200, BISIN200. That'll score you a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today over at firstbet.com. RotoWire hockey expert Paul Bruno joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, let's get to the other game tonight in the late window. We got the Oilers on the road at the Golden Knights. Vegas -135 on the money line. Oilers +114. What do you look at in this game? I know you have a play on the puck line.
Yeah, I think Vegas has to get this one. Same scenario for them. They lost the first game, and they got to get back on even terms before the series shifts to Edmonton. And I think Vegas is a plus 180 on the puck line. That's a very attractive bet for me because I think they roll in this one. And if I can go back and give you the bet on the previous game, I see the Caps taking this one on the money line. They're plus 145 and is to play tonight. There's also value on the other side when you go to the puck line, though. I think it's going to be a close game with the Hurricanes keeping it within one goal, and they could win you money on the puck line to the tune of a plus 154 payoff.
Looking a little bit more at this Edmonton-Vegas game, I think it's two very entertaining teams. Edmonton, they seem like they have this way of like coming back every single game. What would happen if they actually have to try to protect a lead?
Well, that's a scary proposition. They're going with their number two goalie, though some people would say Calvin Pickard has outplayed his partner, and that's why he's got the lead role right now. But the Edmonton defense is minus Matthias Ekholm, perhaps their best defensive defenseman, and a towering and imposing figure. So that's a big ask if you're going to rely on the blue line and goaltending to carry the day for the Oilers. They're going to go as far as their top two guys will take them. They've certainly got some nice performances out of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor Brown, and Corey Perry, all veteran players who came through in the first game. But it's a big ask to have those secondary guys chip in on a regular basis. They simply haven't done it. And I think the Vegas club is more balanced, deeper, and bigger physically. I think they have every opportunity to get back into the series and maybe even take control of it.
We're talking with Paul Bruno. You can follow him on Twitter at Statsman22. Catch him on RotoWire. Paul, I want to ask you a general question. I asked Nick about this in basketball. I want to ask you about in hockey. What sort of metrics do you use when you're doing some research to do your hockey betting?
I look at who's hot in the last 10 games among the top six forwards, top four defensemen, the last 10 games, and that sort of thing factors into my decision-making. And injuries are always a factor, too. So you want to see that the top two lines and top two defensive pairs are intact for a team before you make a bet in favor of them. And conversely, you also look for value in terms of players who are playing an elevated role, not a usual one, and take a look at them in DFS play if you're going that route, make sure you include them in your lineups. I call that my sidekick theory. So I always look to see who's playing with Draisaitl and McDavid and give them a look, see on those kind of bets and maybe goal scoring bets because they probably pay off bigger than the big name players.
Paul, on the way out here, we got about 30 seconds. Speaking of goal scorers, anybody that you have your eye on tonight, even if you haven't officially gone to the window, anybody that you like to score a goal in either of these two games?
Well, I think you got to look at Draisaitl for sure for Edmonton. But I also like Zach Hyman. He's a guy that a year ago was a 50-plus goal shooter, and you get a better payoff for him this year because he simply hasn't matched that rate, though he is performing very, very well in these playoffs. So, a chalky pick and Draisaitl, less so Hyman.
All right, there we have it. Paul Bruno stopping by to talk a little puck, help us preview these two games on the NHL playoff slate tonight. Paul, appreciate you as always, man. We'll have you back as the NHL playoffs progress. You can follow Paul on Twitter again at Statsman22. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll switch things over to the MLB. Got a few games in action. Jeff Erickson going to hand out his best bets for the late slate. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We're taking you up to the top of the hour. As always, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Coming up next, he's going to have Patrick Maher on the show. He'll be giving his best bets for that Warriors-Wolves game, the lone NBA playoff game on the slate tonight. We like to finish out the show talking baseball, Jeff. We got a few afternoon games that we're keeping an eye on. Orioles currently leading the Minnesota Twins with Dean Kramer on the hill, 2-1. Now in the bottom of the sixth, 10 hits for the Baltimore Orioles, including a handful of doubles, but just two runs on the board. Red Sox out to a 2-0 lead over the Texas Rangers. That's Brian Bello on the hill for Boston. Four walks already for Bello. We're in the middle of the fourth there. And thanks to a Sal Perez RBI double, the Kansas City Royals leading the White Sox 1-0 in the top of the third. So I know you have a bunch of MLB best bets for us, Jeff, but first we got some news in Major League Baseball earlier today. The Pittsburgh Pirates, who've lost 7 in a row, who've lost 10 of their last 11, have fired their manager, Derek Shelton. Taking a look at some of the updated odds for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're 20-1 to make the playoffs. They are 80-1 to win the NL Central. Something maybe a little more realistic, Jeff, to win 70 games, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who I will tell you are on a 52-win pace right now, minus 140. So what do we make of this manager change a month and a half into the year?
It's simultaneously true that they were underachieving and they were expected to be bad. I think both things are true. And that what did we really expect here? They probably are still underachieving a little bit there, but just look at what they did or the lack of activity in the offseason. And what did you really expect here? Maybe not these depths. Certainly you're at the absolute lowest point here. My favorite thing about this whole thing is Bob Nutting, who is the principal owner. He is came out and said, the team needs to act with a sense of urgency and take the steps necessary to fix this now to get back on track as a team and an organization. First of all, back on track. They've never been on track. They haven't been on track in a really long time. Travis Sawchuk, really good writer, covered the Pirates at one point in time, mentioned this. He goes, the club's largest free agent signing in history was Francisco Liriano in 2014 for 3 years and $39 million. There are players making more than $39 million per year. The Pirates haven't even exceeded that on a general total value free agent contract. So talking about getting the team back on track, having a sense of urgency is like outright hypocrisy. Shelton has done things wrong for sure, but he's a total scapegoat in this situation.
Yeah, Pirates have not made the playoffs in 10 years, Jeff, and it's certainly looking like they're going to push that streak to 11. We're talking about a franchise with three playoff berths, and they came 3 years in a row, 2013, 14, and 15, three playoffs since 1992, and certainly feels like this season already going off the rails. Not sure I would take the Pirates to win 70 games right now at minus money.
No, I wouldn't. No, I don't think I would either.
No. All right, let's get to the later slate tonight. We do have an afternoon game, a doubleheader today between the Tigers and the Rockies. I mean, all eyes will be on these two games, Jeff. Tigers are favored in both of these matchups, as you'd expect. Rockies, far and away the worst team in baseball to begin the year. We see Casey Mize going up against Kyle Freeland in game one.
Is Coors Field back? I feel like we're back a little bit there in terms of the ball starting to fly a little bit more. 64 degrees is the projected temperature for the start of the first pitch there at 3:10 Eastern time. Detroit is just crushing left-handers so far, and Freeland throws with the left hand last I checked. Detroit 6 WOBA with a 334 WOBA against lefties. That's before accounting for Coors Field. Kyle Freeland's way worse at home than he is on the road. I think the Colorado Bats woke up yesterday as well. We saw Ryan McMahon go 4-for-4 at the homer. Michael Tolia had a big day at the plate as well. Meanwhile, with Casey Mize, it's interesting. He's 5-1 with a 2.70 ERA. The expected stats aren't quite in alignment there. The expected ERA is 2.92, but his FIP ERA is 4.48, and I think his BABIP has something to do with that at 2.40. Strikeout percentage is only 18.5. Suggests a little bit of luck. Do you really want more balls in play, especially now that Coors Field is playing like Coors Field? I'm going to go ahead and take the over 9.5 runs in this one here. I don't think it's funny. The nightcap is at 11. This one's at 9.5 because it's a better pitching matchup. But is it good enough to account for that? I don't think so. Over 9.5 at minus 118. In the nightcap, that one's at Detroit minus 185, over under of 11, as we alluded to. Tanner Gordon making his 2025 debut for the Rockies. The undecided officially for the Tigers, but we're predicting Keiter Montero, who's made a couple spot starts earlier this year. Gordon last year, 8.65 ERA, 1.72 WHIP. Montero has been hit pretty hard in his limited action this year. I think you can do some plays off of the totals on that one. Maybe wait until the pitching matchup is set. I'd also look at a Riley Green home run prop once that gets posted for game two.
Let's move over to an NL West battle. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. Dodgers minus 155 on the road tonight. Total sitting at 9. Get to see Yoshi Yamamoto going up against Brandon Pfaadt. I know you're looking at the total here, Jeff, and you got a Yamamoto prop for us.
I do. I'm going to go strikeouts with Yamamoto. I know it hasn't been great the last two times. 11 Ks in his last two starts. The prop is splitting the difference right at 5.5. It's a couple of interesting things, though. But Yamamoto's hit that prop 4 out of 7 times. He's had 2 10s and a 9 in there. So the upside's really high. The Diamondbacks are kind of middle of the pack in K percentage against righties, 21.5%. I think there's some interesting things going on this one here, too. Brandon Pfaadt, kind of middling numbers overall, 7 homers allowed this year. But I think he's a pretty good K pitcher. 17 Ks and 11.2 innings against the Dodgers last year. So let's go with the Yamamoto over 5.5 K prop at minus 120. I also like a little on the under 9 runs to score total, especially getting plus money at it, plus 100. I think Pfaadt holds his own in this one here.
All right, Phillies Rays tonight, Jeff. Phillies minus 155 on the money line. Another game with a total sitting right at 9. You have Ryan Pepiot on the hill for the Rays going up against Jesus Luzardo, who very quietly, Jeff, off to one of the best starts of any pitcher in the National League. I know you're all over Luzardo in this matchup.
I am. Our friend Paul Spohr joins us every Tuesday on the RotoWire Sirius XM show, and he does a pitcher ranking for the day, and he's right at the top of Paul's rankings, and for good reason. Lizardo's rolling. He's up to 27.6 K percentage, good ratios, and the Rays really struggle against lefties. 28th in baseball in WOBA versus left-handers. They strike out more against lefties as a whole, so I'm going to go with not the over-under line, which is at, I think, 5.5, and you minus money. Instead, I'm going to go Luzardo, 7-plus Ks at plus 120 over at DraftKings, and also over 17.5 outs recorded at minus 145. I think you pick on this Rays lineup right now. We saw Christopher Sanchez do it yesterday, another lefty that pitched very well against them. So let's go back to the well. Let's go Jesus Luzardo on both of those props.
All right, let's finish out with a fun pitching matchup. We got the final game in a 4-game set between the Reds and the Braves. Braves took the first two. Reds won last night. Atlanta now minus 205 on the money line. Nick Lodolo going up against Spencer Schwellenbach. What do you like here?
So it's interesting. Both pitchers are coming off bad outings. They're really good pitchers, but they're coming off bad outings. Both allowed 6 earned runs in their last start, 7 total for Lodolo. So you might think I want to be on the over here, but couple of things kind of augur in favor of going the under instead. I think, first of all, they're both really good pitchers. The Braves aren't that great against left-handed pitching. 23rd in WOBA versus lefties at 275, 24.8% K percentage against lefties. We saw Andrew Abbott pitch very well against them the other night. I think it's on Tuesday night there with the game that went to 2-1, and that was when the over climbed up before the game started. So I don't go counterintuitive, go under minus. I'm going to go under 8 runs, minus 108 on that one there. Maybe play around with some Lodolo K props as well.
All right. I like it. There we go. Our slate preview from Jeff Erickson. You can find all of our bets, of course, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber over at VSiN.com. It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank. You can get the GBank Visa Signature Card today. Go grab it right now. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. And that's even when you're putting your own money on the card. But GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases. You're saving 3 to 5% on cash advance fees and gaming transactions right there. Also, with GBank, you're earning 1% cash back rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions. Plus, you're getting 2% cash back rewards on all eligible purchases. You can apply now over at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/GBank. Jeff, your GBank best bet of the night. Where are we going?
I feel like every time Yoshi Yamamoto pitches, I'm trying to find ways to back him. And I'm going to do the same again tonight. The over 5.5 Ks at minus 120.
All right. I mentioned it earlier in the show, Anthony Edwards, maybe we're shying away a bit from that points prop at 27.5, perhaps at our own peril, but I like the over 12.5 assists plus rebounds. I think plenty of rebound opportunities, especially for a guy who's been all over the glass so far in these playoffs. And look, if that shooting does come around for the Timberwolves, I think we could see 5, 6, 7 assists tonight from Edwards. So over 12.5 assists plus boards, minus 130 over at FanDuel. That's going to do it for us here on Prop Points. Stick around. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next here on VSiN.